Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. I am your host, Jester Dooms. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Today is Wednesday, April 17th. Time is 19:52. For you, it is Thursday morning, and you're on your way to work. You're drinking your coffee, and you're headed in there to go deal with all the bullshit you don't want to deal with today. And you're stuck at the red light, and there's a guy mean mugging you in the next line. Hey, fuck you, guy. Yeah, fuck you. I hope they heard that. Okay, moving on. When you guys get to your work today, and you're around your coworkers, I want you to do something. I want you to start assessing the people around you, all right? You've got people that are awake, not awake. You've got people that are part of the problem, and then you have a small, tiny, little selective group of people that are trying to solve the problem. And I want you to just make that assessment, what kind of people you're surrounded by. Now, thankfully, most of the people I surround myself with are awake, and they are not part of the problem. I cannot at all say they're working to fix the problem, but they are definitely not part of it, and most of them are awake. Very few people I'm around are still asleep, which is good. And I think it's probably the line of work that I'm in, you know, the jobs I hold, you get more people that are like, yeah, we're not believing this bullshit, as opposed to somebody who's like a barista somewhere, or maybe a librarian at the local library, something like that. And I'm not singling out people's professions here. I'm just saying, in my line of work, you've got people that see through the bullshit, okay? And not all of them do, but most do. So guys, I'll tell you what, I'm really enjoying working on the Wee Woo Wagon. We got stuck. We ran over a little bit tonight, so I got back home a little later than normal. Had my blood type A diet dinner, which tonight was blue corn chips, ground turkey, cheese, a little bit of sour cream, and cilantro lime sauce. Now, the sour cream doesn't fall into the diet, but the diets, I read between the lines with some things, okay? Like, olive oil is okay, olives are not. Eggs are okay, mayonnaise is not. So can I consume olive oil mayonnaise? Probably. I haven't tried it, but probably. The main reason I do this diet is to prevent acid indigestion and heartburn, and I just am reaping the rewards in other places with it, and I've never felt so great, so I'm just going to keep doing it. I was originally told to do this to solve my heartburn issues, and that has worked fantastically, all right? So, with that being said, had my nice little lovely dinner, got a shower, hanging out with you guys, recording this lovely episode of the Doom Daily Show, and I got like a little bit of a hair up my ass about not getting a response from my other job. If you guys listen to the show regularly, you'll know what I'm talking about. But the hair came in a different fashion, because the different fashion came in kind of this mindset of like, I don't care if I go back to that job. I'm enjoying not being there. I'm enjoying being able to have a cell phone on me. I'm enjoying being able to get out of the station and go do things. I'm enjoying being in constant contact with another human being as my partner that I work with for the day, and us being able to bullshit and have conversations and talk smack, or, you know, joke around, or, you know, get in a vehicle and go to the store together, or, you know, get, for Christ's sake, we get to sit down and have a conversation about what we want to have for lunch. Something that simple is what I don't get at my other job. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people that work a lot of shitty jobs because the pay is so well, but you have to find it within yourself to determine what you're willing to deal with for the amount of pay. All right. So for me, I know about what I'm worth per hour, depending on the job field of what I'm doing. Okay. And I know there are certain jobs, like when I was a welder, I don't care where I'm going around the country, when I was still actively seeking employment, I mean, this is many moons ago now, but I would not strike an arc for less than $15 an hour. I would not do it. If it didn't start at least 15, I'm not going there. I'm sorry, I'm not. And that's where a lot of these people with the minimum wage shit screw up. It's not necessarily that you need to make 15 an hour. You just need to find a job. Just don't take a job that's paying minimum wage. That's all. That's it. And before you say, well, jobs are limited in our area, blah, 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 maybe you should move. Maybe you should move. Maybe you should relocate. Phone a friend. I don't know. But a lot of people get hung up on that. So now, as I got later on in life, you know, that dollar rate went up with my experience. So it became 16, 17, 18, etc. Doing the work I'm doing now, I'm very green in this industry. I'll basically work for whatever you'll give me, you know, to an extent, because I usually work two jobs at once, and I have one that's paying the bills and then one that's kind of side money. But in this instance, this is the only thing of the moment, and it pays decent, so I don't really have many complaints. But now that I'm out of there and I'm seeing how nice the work day can be, my anxiety has calmed down. I have relaxed more. I feel better. Like, I mentally feel better. It's crazy what isolation will do to a person. It's crazy what cutting someone off from the outside world will do to a person. That is absolutely, I mean, it's insane. And I wasn't like up there licking windows and going nuts, but man, just the thought of going there and like, I can't call my wife. I can't check in on my kids. If someone's sick, I won't know for a while. Like, there's all these things. When I'm at work, I'm not worried about an emergency happening with my family while I'm not there, because you're usually in constant contact with the day and age we live in. You're in constant contact. But I am worried about, you know, an emergency happening if I'm not in constant contact. And that was one thing that was stressful about that job. If something happened, there was no way for me to know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
So I want to touch on this minimum wage thing again. We touch on this from time to time, and you're going to find as you listen to this show, opinions will change, facts might change, and the reason why I say facts might change is because they recant stories in the news, or, you know, we'll talk about something, this is what we know, and then a story will come out a few weeks later talking about something different and how they figured out something else. So, you know, things change, and we'll be going over topics from time to time, but I wanted to dive into the minimum wage thing a little bit. So California is already saying that, different reports, depends on where you go and what sources you read, saying that the hike in minimum wage there has actually made their economy worse, not better. And we've talked about this from time to time on my other show a little bit and on this one. Guys, look, raising minimum wage is not the answer here. And you got to understand what kind of controls the money here. So I'm going to get into something with this minimum wage stuff, and I promise you I have a point thus far after. So, you increase the minimum wage, it effectively increases the cost of everything. And then, guess who really wins at the end of the day? The government wins, because guess what? The cost of goods is now higher, which means they're getting more tax dollars. Your wages are higher, which means they're getting more tax dollars out of your paycheck. All right? So the governments don't really care what the wages are. They don't. That whole increase of wage and this, that, it's all a facade anyway. It's to keep you wanting to better yourself and furthering skill and putting more into this bullshit system. That's what it does. If minimum wage was $100 an hour, that just means you're gonna have more money to spend on shit that you don't need till those prices catch up. And while you're buying all these things, the government is getting more tax revenue from these sales. Then what you have happen is you have the federal government being like, oh, John Smith over here makes more money, so we could take more from him now. All right. And then this cycle just keeps going. And it blows my mind. So the youth of society is being raised in such a way that they can't see this. They don't understand. They're totally blind to the idea that the more you make, the more they take. And the more you make, the more you'll spend. We've heard this growing up. I've heard this growing up. The more you make, the more they'll take. The more you make, the more you'll spend. And I remember having jobs with old timers back in the day when I was, you know, working here or working there and, you know, talking to them. And they're like, what's up, Dooms? How you doing, man? I heard you're leaving. I heard you're going to get another job. It's like, yeah, you know, there's this job. It's paying me like $2 more an hour, and it's closer to home, so blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, you know, Dooms, I just want to let you know the more money you you make there, the more that you'll just spend, and then the government's going to tax you more. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But I also understood that $2 more an hour is an extra $160 on my paycheck. That alone, that raise alone, will cover my car insurance for the month. And I'm getting that twice in a month, right? So I'll be able to cover my car insurance with that raise, plus a cell phone bill, plus maybe gas for the week or two to go back and forth to work. And then I was saving, I want to say approximately, because it was a smidge closer to the house, not a big, big, huge, close difference, but it was closer. I was probably saving somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 a week in gas. And when you add that up, that's $80 a month, right? So in turn, okay, I'm getting two increases of $160. So that's what? That's $320 every a month increased. All right. Then you figure I'm saving approximately $80 a month on fuel. So this is a $400 a month change for me, if my math is correct. And I'm doing this on the fly, so it might not be. So $400 a month change, right? That is pretty substantial when you think about it. $400 a month more money. Now, when you think the yearly spectrum of this, that's $4,800 a year being saved. So if I would have, you know, and regardless of how anybody wants to look at it, whether, yeah, well, you're going to spend that somewhere. Yeah, that's cool. Let me spend that on what I want to spend it on. Let me not spend it just going back and forth to work. Let me not spend, you know, and let me not spend less so I could be loyal to an employer that doesn't give a shit about me. All right. But the youth of today, they don't understand this. They don't map these things out. My eldest son, I've had 1,000 conversations with him trying to explain to him how taxes work and money works and how credit works and why it's important to not let your bank accounts get overdrawn. And, you know, spent lots and lots of time trying to teach him all these life lessons that I've learned over the years. And to no end, it's bad financial decisions 24/7. He's got his money spent before he gets his paycheck. And he'll more than likely always be that way. When he was a bit younger and I was having him work at, you know, he was working at the family restaurant. You know, he got his little paycheck, wasn't very much, but it's like, all right, dude, let's go. You want to go shopping? Like, you got money, what do you want to do? You know? And he's like, well, there's stuff I need from the store. And it's like, all right, we roll to the store. And I was like, you know, I said, what do you need? He says, well, I need socks, I need this, I need that. He like listed off all these things. And I'm like, well, how about we do this? Let's take the shopping cart around. We'll start putting stuff in the cart. And we will add things up as you're going and take them up to the counter, and that's it. We'll pay for them, right? So you can make sure you buy all the stuff you need. So he goes through the store, gets all the stuff he needs, and then decides he wants one more thing. And that last thing he wanted was a cheesecake. He wanted cheesecake. And doesn't matter that he's lactose intolerant. He wanted the cheesecake. I was like, okay, dude, get the cheesecake. I know it's going to tear your stomach up, but whatever. Get the cheesecake, all right? Do whatever you want. He gets up there, and he doesn't have enough money to cover everything. And I says, well, dude, this is a learning experience. You gotta figure out what you want to put back, man. You know, my whole premise of being here with you is to help you learn how to spend money wisely, correctly, and responsibly, okay? And basically, the long and the short of it was he didn't want to give up the cheesecake. But the one thing he needed the most he was out of just so happened to be socks. He was out of socks. And says, you know what? I'm going to put the socks back so I could get the cheesecake. And I'm trying to explain to him. I'm like, dude, you're going to eat that cheesecake and it's going to be gone in a day or two. And you're still going to need socks. Maybe you ought to get the socks and then get the cheesecake next time you get paid so you actually have socks. No. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, it wasn't a few days later. He's coming to me. He's like, Dad, could you get me some socks? I don't have any socks. And I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll get you socks. We just went through this. And it's like the audacity to say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then you're going to rely on me later. You know, that's the thing that kills me. And that's how a lot of these kids' mentality nowadays is. It's, you know, what can you continuously do for me while I do nothing for myself? What can you do for me while I do nothing for you? When something goes wrong, how can I spin it to make it your fault? That's how a lot of these things go. And my son has now since moved out of the house, and he's on his own. I don't know who in the hell he's manipulating to take care of him and just buy things for him and pay his cell phone bill and do all this, but I know he has not been working. And I know he has not been working because there's bank notices that come to the house all the time saying, you know, his account's going into collections. So clearly you're not doing something here, you know. Anyway, but that's the mentality that a lot of these kids demonstrate. There is no saving money. There is no prioritizing spending. There is no difference between need and necessity. There's none. And this is one reason a lot of these kids are like, well, I'm not working for minimum wage. What do you have to spend money on? Well, I want this and I want that. Yeah, those are wants, not needs. If you want that stuff, get a better job. Well, yeah, well, how am I supposed to do if I'm stuck making minimum wage? You leave that job and you go get another job. You guys all have the internet at the tips of your fingers. And I went down that road last time about how hard it used to be to find a job. I'm not doing that again. But I also see a lot of these little shits nowadays. They don't value employment. They are not thankful. I used to work with this one coworker. He was really kind of had a Cajun kind of accent. He used to say, attitude, no gratitude. And I said, what? Attitude, no gratitude. What he was saying was, attitude of no gratitude. And it took him like saying it three or four times before I understood what the hell he was saying. But I was young and I wanted everything. And then I since grew up and learned that that's not how the world works. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. Go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prep Stock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
God, you guys know this show is just one big tangent, right? And that's all it'll ever be. Just one big tangent. Speaking of tangents, I got friends kind of coming to me again saying, you know, World War III's coming and they're worried about EMPs and different random things and wanting to talk about stuff like that. And I'm like, you fuckers never listen anyway, but okay, I'll play the game because I like playing the game. The rumblings of what could happen at any given moment are, it's astounding when you have people that are concerned with this and you have people that are worried about this, people like your preppers and your survivalists and people of this nature. Now, I think it's really interesting, though, when you have an average person come to you and start talking about like, yeah, man, I'm really worried about this World War III that we're starting to hear rumblings of. And, you know, I'm really wondering, you know, will my motorcycle still run if an EMP happens? And like shit like that, it's like, wow, that's, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I play the game and I'm, you know, I'll try to go through and talk with them about different scenarios they bring up because it is mildly entertaining to talk to these people because a lot of these people don't know I do It's Doomsday Podcast. And a lot of them don't know that I prep myself. A lot of people don't know that. All right. So I find it to be very interesting when they come to me, never having listened to the show. They'd be like, hey, man, what do you know about this? I don't know anything. I know nothing. But no, I humor them and we go through and I go through some likely scenarios with them. But it's funny that the rumblings are getting pumped up about this because it almost feels like pre-programming. And the amount of conflict that's going on right now is pretty wild. If like you really sit down and you read through everything that's taking place around the world right now, considering, you know, all right, think about this for a second. We've got Russia and Ukraine still going at it while China's funding one side and we're funding the other while we're also funding China who wants to blow up Taiwan, who we're trying to protect. And then you think about it. And if that's not crazy enough, you've got the Israel-Gaza Strip thing going on, and now you've got Iran sending shit over at Israel, and Israel's trying to figure out how to come back to this, all right? And then if that doesn't top it all, we got wicked earthquakes going on everywhere. We just had a 6.6 today magnitude in Japan. So there's so much going on right now. And this doesn't even touch into the idea of what North Korea's up to, what kind of shit they're trying to pull over there. This has nothing to do with the cartels at the south of the, at the border. This has nothing to do with whatever military age men are coming through the southern border. This has nothing to do with any guerrilla warfare that's going on at all around the world. Nothing. It is insane the amount of conflict that's happening at any given time. And I hear a lot of talk often, and I've never pulled the statistics, and I should probably do this. Producer Scooter, if you know this answer, go ahead and just plug it in there. But I'm really curious how depleted our military actually is, because I hear rumblings of it all the time, but I never looked up the statistics. You know, what did we have pre-pandemic and then post-pandemic? What did we have? You know, I don't know what the big, huge difference is in numbers, but we got another ad coming up, guys. We missed the last slot, I think, so we'll be right back after these messages.
If you like hard-hitting news and up-to-date explosive investigations, well, you better look elsewhere. Check out The Beans and Weenie Show Is Doomed, most Saturday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on Rumble and Podbean. You are listening to The Doom Daily Show.
Now, I'm not going to go out here and say that the U.S. is completely defenseless. I don't want to say that. But something I want everybody to think about for a second is, when you have a world war, the amount of manpower and finances and resources that go into these kind of conflicts, the whole world changes. I mean, it really does. And, you know, some of us remember who Rosie Riveter was and what she represents and things like that, and about how the women kind of had to come in and take over the men's jobs during the war. In order to keep the country moving, in order to keep supplies going out to fight the war, stuff like that, okay? Now, imagine you live in a day and age where no one wants to fucking work. No one wants to go into the military. No one wants to serve. No one wants to do anything. Now, I wasn't in the military. I didn't go. But a lot of my very close friends did, all right? I had very little desire to do anything military-related because I had a child very young and wanted to be around. So when most of my friends were going off to war, or I'm sorry, going off to the military to potentially go to war, I was at home raising a newborn. My child was born when I was 18 years old. So as they're all shipping out, I'm over here changing diapers and stuff, right? So whatever plans I had to go to the military at that time were put on hold. And then as I got older, it just quit making sense. And now I'm like to this age in my life where it's like it's just too late, man. You missed the fucking boat. And I regret that a lot because I have so many friends and coworkers that were in the military, and it's like they have all these good stories, they had all these awesome experiences. Some of them, I mean, are royally fucked up, and you know, they've got the PTSD, they're permanently injured, they've got a lot of things that are wrong. But I just, man, I regret not pulling the trigger. I should have just left when my son was born and said, hey, you got this right. I'm going to basic. I'll be back, and just went into the reserves. I should have did something, but I didn't. Anyway, nowadays, the mentality you have with a lot of these kids is they don't want to go. They're not going to go. And then whenever this nation is depleted of resources and these guys have to go to work to fill in the blanks, they're not going to go. They're not going to go to work. So when you realize that you have this generation of God, I can't stand this generation. Like, I really freaking can't, man. It is, they're horrible. Do you think that any of these little shits are going to get up off their asses and go do hard manual labor to support the war effort? Because you know that whatever jobs these are not going to pay very well, right? They're not going to. And that's sadly just the way it is. You think these guys are going to go out and start building tanks and shit and do this horrible, hard labor job for $15 an hour? No, they won't. Guys, they want $15 an hour to flip a cheeseburger. Imagine, like, one of these kids trying to, like, lift a torch tank. Like, imagine one of them trying to change out an oxygen tank and being like, I can't lift this. It's too heavy. Get someone else to do it. Well, dude, that's your job. Yeah, but I only make $20 an hour. I'm not doing that. Okay, well, then go home. And that's going to be the mentality. But then imagine this. Imagine if they brought back the draft and had to send these little shits out into battle. We are fucked. Fucked. They've been the elites have been destroying this nation from the inside out and from the outside in. It is being destroyed. and they are weakening us as a nation. We are no longer this big, great superpower anymore. And I know that may hurt some people, but I look at what we have and what's going on, and I'm just like, Jesus, where's everybody's spunk? Where did it go? Where's your fight? Where's your drive? You motherfuckers can't make it through an 8-hour workday. You're not going to go overseas and sleep in the dirt. Like, what are you doing? Where's the drive? Where's the honor? Where's the being proud of what you are and what you do? Where is that? It is totally vanished. It is gone. And I mean, because we have the restaurant, we employ people of kind of all ages. We've got, you know, one girl that I think is graduating high school this year. We've got other women that are my age and beyond. And, you know, I mean, it's typical, like, you know, our restaurant is typically female dominated, right? So we have women of all ages. So it's funny to me when I see someone like my son who needs help to tie his shoes, more or less. And then we have this one female working at the restaurant that is the same fucking age and works her ass off while graduating high school and then goes straight into a cosmetology program. And she's now working for us and going through that and busting her ass and is buying herself a car and doing all the shit. And my son is over here still like, well, you make the bow, then the rabbit goes through the hole, then you pull it tight. That's like where we're at. And I'm not just like solely getting down on him. I'm saying the entire generation is like that. And very few do you see one person that shines through like this one does, right? And damn it, man, if the majority of them isn't like this, and I meet people that are even older of, you know, like the millennial generation, and there's a lot of them that are just as bad, that have this sense of entitlement, that won't lift a finger to help out anybody, but they want everything done for them. And, you know, I keep thinking to myself, and for those of you that are out there like, oh, Jester, you're crazy. Imagine what's going to happen when these people become our future fucking leaders. Imagine what's going to happen when these people start running corporations and start running countries. And just imagine what that world will be like. It's not going to work. It's not going to function. You're going to have people taking jobs they don't want because it's the only thing available and the only way they can eat. They're going to work till they get a paycheck, then they're going to quit, and then, I mean, day of, like, you're going to have one of these idiots driving the public transport bus down the road, taking people to work. His first check's going to hit his bank account. He's going to get a notification on his phone. He's going to pull that bus over and walk away, and everybody on that bus is going to be like, how do we get to work now? Does anybody know how to drive a bus? No one told me I needed to get a driver's license. I don't know how to drive a bus. I guess we're just going to have to walk. Well, I'm not walking. They don't pay me enough for that. Can anybody get us an Uber? Call 911. Tell them we need a ride. Like, that's the kind of shit that's going to start happening. And it's progressively getting worse. And something I had a conversation with my coworker today, and this is what I want to get into on tomorrow's episode, so make sure you come back tomorrow. Holy shit, have the drugs gotten worse in this country. Back in the day, I'd look at a people and see him talking to a tree. You know, I'd see a person talking to a tree. I'd be like, he must be off his rocker or something wrong with him. Nowadays, anytime something happens, your brain automatically goes to drugs. That person must be on something. But anyway, that's it. Producer Scooter, I love you, man. Everybody out there, like, share, subscribe, wake up, and email doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Catch you guys tomorrow. Have a safe day at work, everyone.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.